Them bones, them bones, them dry bones. Oh, hear the word of the Lord.
Ezekiel saw dry bones in a valley. The bones were about as far away from life as anything could get. And God brought them back, bone by bone, muscle by muscle, covered in flesh. And then God breathed life into them and they were alive. And then God said, this is what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to bring them back to life. So a couple questions. Was it a dream? Probably. Did God bring the Israelites back in to life in a massive horror movie spectacle? Nope. Does this Bible reading communicate that there are no limits to when, where, or how God brings new life? Yes. Here's the thing. This is important. If you're not listening to anything else, and I have to expound on it, of course, but God doesn't do left behind. God does bring you back. I want to take you through some more of Ezekiel's story. Steve Case, who was at St. Paul several years back, is a friend and a brilliant author. He's a speaker, a minister. The story I'm going to tell is, it's a real favorite of mine. I've told it at the church before. It's never been videoed. It's never been on Facebook Live, as far as I know. It's included in Steve's book, God Up Close. He's written a whole lot of books. You can find more about Steve at stevekspeaks.net. The story is earthy, visual, sensual, and for all the vivid descriptions, a very accurate description of the Ezekiel story, what Steve has written. You can buy the book online, go to his webpage, maybe we'll put that in the feed, stevekspeaks.net. There we go. Ezekiel, sitting at the head of the table, the elders of the tribe of Judah sat around him. They were all staring at him, waiting. He'd grown to loathe these meetings. He was never a big fan of meetings anyway. Committees rarely make things better and usually make them worse. But this was hellish. The elders all sat around and waited for him to say something funny. The general consensus was that Ezekiel had gone off his rocker. Months ago, he'd been in a meeting just like this one when suddenly a giant hand, yes, a giant hand, came into the room, grabbed him by his hair, and yanked him away. Everyone else in the room saw the giant hand. Everyone else saw him get yanked through the roof. But did the town folks say that they were nuts? No. Just Olaf is not Ezekiel. The only difference, Ezekiel reminded himself, was that the others had the good sense to keep their mouths shut. The hand of God had come into the room, lifted Ezekiel up by his hair, and shown him horrific visions. It was bad enough God had asked him to walk around naked for years. Oh, he really did. He'd done that? Yes, he had. God had asked him to lie on one side for more than a year and then bake wretched muffins and eat them in front of everyone. Had he done that? Yes, he had. God described his people as two slutty sisters who did horrible, disgusting things. Had Ezekiel listened? Yes, he had. Then God took Ezekiel's wife. God warned, I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes. He told Ezekiel not to mourn, not to wear the clothes that mourners wear, or eat the food that mourners eat. God said that somehow he would get through this, and it would get through to the people who had missed every message Ezekiel had delivered from God. So far, though, the result was nothing. People were dumb as rocks. Ezekiel delivered his messages during the day, at night, while he lay alone, cold in his bed. He cried for what he'd lost. He was just entertainment for the people. Let's go to the council meeting and see what Ezekiel the nutball has to say today. So Ezekiel sat at the head of the table. He chaired the meeting. He followed the rules. And still they looked at him, and still they were waiting for the next crazy thing he might do. Are you even listening to me? Ezekiel shouted. Suddenly their faces changed. Ezekiel knew immediately what they were looking at behind him. The hand was back. It grabbed him by the hair that had finally grown back after God told him to shave it all off. Once again, Ezekiel was jerked out of his own home, carried up high above the city, and dropped into an open field. Ezekiel lay on the ground and coughed the dust that had just wafted up from where he'd landed. He waved a hand in front of his face, and as the dust cleared, he found himself nose to nose with a human skull. Well, nose to nose hole, as it were. "Ah!" Ezekiel screamed. He was startled. He scooted away from the skull and heard a crunching sound. Looking to his left, he saw his hand rested on an armored breastplate surrounded by a skeleton rib cage. A sword held the breastplate, and what was left of ribs in place stuck fast to the ground. Ezekiel would later pride himself on not screaming a second time. Jumping to his feet, Ezekiel felt bones break under his sandals. He leapt about, trying not to land on anything that was once human. That proved to be a challenge. When he finally found solid footing, he gingerly made his way across the valley. He looked around and saw no trees, no distant mountains, and no cities anywhere. Instead, he was tiptoeing where a great slaughter had taken place. Thousands upon thousands of bones lay around him. Some of the skulls still wore helmets. Some of the hands still clutching swords that pinned their bodies to the ground as though trying to release themselves. Ezekiel tried not to be sick, unsuccessfully. He looked up at the darkening sky and said, "Well?" The voice of God came to him from across the valley and from the right next and from right next to his ear. It made the ground beneath him feel vibrations, while at the same time it sounded like it was just above him, the way his father's voice used to sound. The voice said, "Ezekiel, are these bones alive?" Ezekiel, assuming it was a trick question, replied, "Like I know." God's voice came like thunder. "Preach to them." "Preach to them?" Ezekiel repeated. This time the voice came from right beside him. It was calm and quiet and utterly human. "Tell them that I am God. I will put them back together and I will attach muscles to them. I will fill their veins with blood and I will stretch fresh skin around them. They will stand up and know me." Ezekiel looked around and hoped no one was watching him. Then he lifted his arms and said, "Hear me, bones." Bones didn't look like they were listening. Ezekiel said, "Listen, bones, God is going to breathe across this valley. God is going to put you together. He's going to knit muscles onto you and sew veins into you and stretch fresh skin around you. You will stand up and know God." The rattling that followed was almost sickening. It sounded like rain. Every shard of brittle bone that had been broken away from the original moved across the ground and put itself back in place. Broken bones came together. The bones that had snapped beneath Ezekiel's feet now rolled away from him and reattached themselves to their original host. Toe bones became part of foot bones. Foot bones connected to the ankle bones. Ankle bones connected to the leg bones. The skull that Ezekiel encountered when he first dropped into the valley now stood on top of its skeleton. Its fleshless hands turned from gray to white and then reached up to straighten the helmet on his head. The skeleton was taller than Ezekiel, and it cocked its head to one side as if studying him with empty eye sockets. One by one, the skeleton army stood. The sound of metal clanging against bone grew louder. Ezekiel spun around and saw the vast army of bones now on its feet. All of the skeletal soldiers turned toward him. They stared at him with sightless eyes. One skeleton pulled a sword from its chest and then scratched in an empty space with a bony finger, as if the wound somehow itched. The next sound was wet, as moist muscle and veins sewed themselves intricately through the bony framework of the soldiers all around him. Ezekiel could see blood coursing through the new veins. Lungs grew from nothing and attached themselves inside rib cages. Stomachs and organs filled with blood and fluid. The face that was staring into Ezekiel suddenly grew two brown eyes that made the skull look more dead somehow. As a boy, Ezekiel had once watched with his friend Josiah as Josiah's dad, a tanner, stretched an animal's skin onto a wooden rack and began to clean it. It was a sound Ezekiel had never forgotten, and now he heard it again, times a million. Skin stretched over muscles, bones and veins. It covered the faces and arms of the soldiers and turned them from a bleached white into something healthy and alive. Finally, the man standing right in front of Ezekiel was whole. But Ezekiel could see deep into the man's eyes, and there was nothing there. No soul, no sign of an inner being. Ezekiel spun around again. The vast army of the dead surrounded him, standing at him with empty eyes, empty of breath, empty of soul. The voice of God spoke to him again. This time it came like a whisper next to his ear. Preach to them. Tell them this. The four winds will come. They will pass through this place and breathe life back into you. And you will be whole again. Ezekiel put his hand on the lifeless shoulder of the man in front of him. He said it quietly, knowing that if it were the word of God, then every ear would hear it. He said, "The four winds will come. They will pass through this place and breathe life back into you, and you will be whole again." For the first time, the eyes of the man whose skull Ezekiel had nearly stepped on came into focus, as if they were connected to something besides the empty skull. A low hum echoed through the valley. Ezekiel looked around and realized the sound was coming from all the people. Their voices were murmuring, calling, and eventually shouting, "Ha! Ha! Ha!" Massive chorus of pure noise rose up into the air. Ezekiel covered his ears. The shouts soon began to reverberate, taking on different tones. Some voices began to sing. Others laughed out loud. The rejuvenated soldiers embraced one another as if they hadn't seen each other in years. The voice of God spoke again, and Ezekiel realized he was the only one who could hear it above the dins of laughter and song. "Ezekiel, are these bones alive?" Ezekiel looked at the sky, caught up in the moment of life around him. "Yes, Lord." God said, "These bones are like my precious children of Israel. They have dried up. They have no hope, no souls, no breath. I want you to go and preach to them. They will listen. Use my words and you will be heard. You will put life back into my people. I will give them a new place. I will put my life spirit in them. I will make them whole." Ezekiel stood looking at the sky. His joy faltered for just a moment. For that one moment, he was filled with questions. How will they know? How do I tell them? What about those who still won't listen? What if I mess this up? What if, when, how? Then God's voice spoke to him clearly and answered all of his questions at once. "Because I am God." Is this a prophecy about now? Everyone's going to be back in church by Easter? No, it is not. Is this a prophecy of a coming back together now or at some point? Yeah, I think it is. It's not about you get to go back to your house or you get your land back. It's not about taking what's not yours by force. It's not about having enough weapons to protect yourself. It's about life. It's about new life in the midst of something chaotic and awful. Does it look exactly like it did before? No. In the last few weeks, things have changed in the world. Will the world recover, revive, have new life? Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to take. It's not going to happen overnight. But we do have a time to look forward to. A time of restoration. The time that we are living in right now is awful for so many people in the world. It is devastating. It is death. It is not recovery. It is time for us to rethink what we're going back to. When we go back to, how will things be different? How will we be this caring community of Christ? How will we be this people of prayer and action? How will we be a beacon of hope, justice, and peace in the world? Because it's true, God doesn't do left behind. God does bring you back. I don't know the timing. But it's our job also, as the church, as people, as humans, not to do left behind, but to do bring you back into something new, into something vibrant, into something life-giving.